You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast for daily NBA news updates and recent events. They also have all kinds of really cool guests jumping on the Locked On NBA podcast. So make sure to check that out if you want the broader scope of what's happening on the NBA. Also, make sure to check out the @LockedOnTWolves Twitter account that will update you on all the podcasts popping up. You can also check my Twitter account @CMolesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y, for the most recent of the Timberwolves podcast. I'm always throwing stuff up there on the old Twitter page, so go check it out. But be sure for sure to go check out the entirety of the Locked On NBA Network. Really great podcast from some really great hosts going up there every single day, and it'll keep you updated. If you don't have time to watch all the NBA games, or if you're not insane like I am and going and watching the recordings on League Pass and stuff like that, it's a great way to stay up to date and be the smart NBA head in your group of friends by going onto the NBA podcast and just having having every host kind of in your ear telling you what's going on with each individual team. So make sure to go check all that out. We have a full docket today. We're going to be talking, obviously, about just some of the things to observe from the first game, some takeaways in a tight loss, to the San Antonio Spurs on the road. I know it never is the best thing to start with a loss, but I thought that there was a lot of positives in that game last night, and we'll be talking about all that. I also wanted to launch a new segment starting this season that we'll finish out the show with a quick little segment. We'll get into that at the end of the show, but have a new NBA segment to launch. And as with all this stuff, you guys on Twitter, I check all this stuff. If you go on Twitter, and I know I don't always get back on Twitter, don't always have time to engage on Twitter necessarily, but if you guys get back to me on new segments that I try, let me know. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Just give me your input. I would love to open up some dialogue between you guys and myself. Also, we tried this last year, and I know not a bunch of guys, not a bunch of listeners really want to reach out, it seems, but if you guys have any questions, anything that you would like me to answer or address on the show, any questions, I would love to try and do a segment once a week where we have just a Q&A via the Twitter. So if you guys are interested in that, or you guys want to jump in and open up some dialogue like that, I would love to do that. I would love to hear from you guys and would love to field some questions. And every week, I'm thinking probably like a Friday show or a Thursday. We could probably do a middle of the week, too. We could do it on Wednesdays as well. But sometime middle to late and the end of the week where you guys want to feel or just shoot questions at me over a weekend and at the beginning of a week, and I can answer some of those to the best of my ability at the end of a week. I would love to do that. So hit me up with questions, and if I get enough of them, I will definitely throw that in a segment in the show. All right, so that was some housekeeping. Let's get into this game. So if you didn't catch the game, it was a tight one. The Timberwolves lost to the San Antonio Spurs 112-108, again, on the road in San Antonio. The Timberwolves, they looked a little worse for wear. They looked like they were in preseason mode in that opening quarter. San Antonio outscored them 31-23. It kind of looked like, you know, when you play pickup basketball, and everybody is supposed to play man defense, but if you just pound home enough down in the paint, everybody kind of collapses and it leaves all kinds of open shooters out on the perimeter. That's a little bit what the Timberwolves looked like on the first quarter of this game, just kind of a little loose with their defensive assignments, not really staying home, leaving guys open, kind of getting caught up in screens. It wasn't great, but they came back strong, outscored the San Antonio Spurs in the following two quarters, were actually leading going into the fourth quarter, and then another big quarter for the Spurs, 31-25 to close it out. Just some sloppy stuff, especially at the end of the game, some sloppy stuff from the Timberwolves. I said going into this one, talking with Jeff Garcia, the host of the Locked On Spurs, that the Timberwolves would need to shoot a lot of threes, really test a weak perimeter defense that had been weakened, especially by injuries heading into the season. They would need to test the perimeter defense. Timberwolves ended up only going 6 of 19 from 3 for 31%. Didn't really stretch out the defense that much. And so that's something, again, that's just a matchup thing that you've got to take advantage of. If you're the Timberwolves, and I do, I liked a bunch of things. But if you're the Timberwolves, not only should you be shooting more threes anyways, because that's just how you win in today's NBA, but if you've got a team that lost probably their new best defender for the perimeter in DeJounte Murray on the outside, you got Kawhi gone on the perimeter. Danny Green is gone. He's their best perimeter defender, and he's out. He had an injury in the preseason. He's out. How do you not shoot more threes? How do you not try and take advantage of a weak perimeter defense? I know that there were some moments there in the Spurs game where the San Antonio, obviously such a well-coached team by Popovich, they're going to just coaching alone is going to get them in some spots to succeed on the perimeter defensively. But there were definitely opportunities, and the Timberwolves did not take advantage of it. And they kind of, I feel like there were some moments where it felt like maybe they were ready to stay dedicated. You had from guys like Wiggins, he had 6 3-point attempts. He had 4 3-point attempts from Butler. But it just felt like there was a lack of commitment to shooting the deep ball from the entire roster in general. And I think that hurt them. And at the end of the day, I know there's some defensive stuff. There were some egregious turnovers in that fourth quarter. And frankly, with how much the San Antonio Spurs shot themselves in the foot, it's a bummer that they weren't able to come away with a win. The Spurs had 7 turnovers in the second quarter alone, and they were only able to outscore them by 4 points. When you have stuff like that, those are when you really got to make a team with some of its top players out, some starters out. That's when you really got to make them pay for turnovers like that. The other side of it too is DeRozan just looked like he was not skipping a beat. Shot 47% from the field, had 28 points, 4 assists. He looked really good. I thought he did a great job. It was kind of the standard DeRozan night where he's going to get his shots from mid-range and then he's going to get to the line a lot. He had 11 free throw attempts and a double-double from LaMarcus Aldridge, 21 points, 19 rebounds. There was just nothing the Timberwolves could do against him in the paint. He was the dominant force, and not only did he have 19 rebounds, he had 8 offensive boards. He was just a beast down low, and there was nobody really contending with him. I know Towns didn't play that many minutes, but he had some foul trouble. And he was actually, I know that on the score sheet in the stat box, 8 points and 3 assists, 9 rebounds, 3 turnovers. I know there's probably going to be people that knock him for tonight or last night's performance, shot 33% from the field. When he was out there, he actually played well, and you can knock him if you want for the fouls that kept him off the court in this game. But when he was out there, he was playing well. He was facilitating really well. There were some nice passes. There was a couple feeds to when he was on the outside to Wiggins slash into the basket. I would really love to see more facilitator Towns. I'm on board for facilitator Towns. I know he can drop 50. I know he can score. Let's get into the other aspects of his game. Let's see facilitator Towns do some work this season. I really like seeing that kind of stuff. Butler picked up right where he left off last season, 23 points. Wasn't super efficient shooting, but again, there was a lot of teams that kind of had the preseason rust still on them. Going into last night's stretch of games. So I wouldn't be too bothered by that stuff. It's really more the lack of creativity and taking advantage of situations that I would have a problem with. Jeff Teague looked energetic, led the team with 27 points. Derrick Rose had some nice stints. He was a little bit of a nice jolt of energy. I don't like him going 3 for 12 and shooting 25%. I know that there's something to be said. He played 30 minutes. There's something to be said about getting into the rhythm of a game and finding your stroke. And again, like I said, these guys are still working off some off-season rust. But at the same time, Derrick Rose worked in this roster and worked with these guys last season because he was efficient. And because he didn't step too far out of his role as kind of a B role player guy coming off the bench, if he starts to get really inefficient, that's when he can really kill this offense. And so I don't want to see more nights from him where he's inefficient. I'm going to give it a pass for a game or two in the name of working off the offseason rust, but and kind of gelling with this team. And as they kind of incorporate rookies, you're going to see maybe a little, some growing pains in some quarters, but I want to see too many super inefficient nights from Rose, because that's what's really going to kill this offense. If he's coming in and he's not really a spark, he's more of a detraction. So that's something to look out for, but I don't think it's something to be worried about yet. All in all though, Wiggins looked really good. Shot 44%, had 20 points, 6 rebounds. He looked energetic. He looked really impassioned. He was involved pretty much the entire game. There wasn't any stretches where you're like, gosh, why is Wiggins checked out? Like, there were so many games last year. I know it's just one game, but hey, you know what? I'm getting excited. I'm choosing to be ultra supportive of these guys this year. I know sometimes I could have been negative last year. I'm going to go super positive. I know this team maybe doesn't handle negativity well, so we're going to go super positive here on the podcast and hope that that some good vibes help this Timberwolves team kind of work towards a positive result instead of a negative one. I'm trying whatever I can here, folks, for the Timberwolves. For the Timberwolves' sake, we're all here for the effort. But all in all, takeaways from this game were – really encouraging stuff. I like seeing Towns doing some different things other than scoring. I thought that T looked good. I thought that Wiggins was playing with a fire under his seat a little bit, and that was encouraging. I think that Butler, whatever aches and pains they have off the court, I think that he's still going to be a menace for other teams, and he looked pretty solid defensively for large portions of the night. He ended with a couple of 4 steals, actually, in a block. He looked good, and now this team just has to get over that hump that they did last year. Close out the game strong. They had some really great quarters in this game. Now you got to finish. You got to finish, and I think that'll come. I think that this was just a little bit of rust at the beginning and just a little bit of sloppiness at the end, but those are very fixable problems. And what's in between is, again, a little bit of a lack of creativity, but I like – The minutes load, you had Wiggins playing 37, but you only had Taj playing 26. Butler played 31, Teague with 31. You had guys off the bench like Gorgie, Tyus Jones, Anthony Tolliver, Derrick Rose. All those guys played over 15 minutes, and so I like that. Get more of these bench guys involved. Be more versatile. Be more creative. Those are all good things. Now let's get it out to the three-point line, okay? Let's do it. We can do it. The guys on the roster are there to do it. Now they just got to execute. All in all, lots of positives to take from the first game of the season and plenty to be encouraged by if you're looking at this Timberwolves team going away from a loss in San Antonio, a tight loss. All right, so we're going to get to a break, and then I've got a new segment to try out. But first, some sponsors. Talked about the Timberwolves and the first game of the season against the San Antonio Spurs. The loss broke that down a little bit. Now I want to try something new, and I'm going to try this at the end of every podcast. It's just going to be a quick little thing. It's going to be three things I saw, and I watch basketball. Now that the season's here, I'm watching basketball every single night, and if I'm not watching all the games that night, I usually have them queued up on my league pass the next morning, so I'm watching bits and pieces of at least every single game going on. I know I'm insane, but you know what? I'm a sports head who talks and writes about sports for a living, and I have no more homework. So I am not tethered by any school to keep me honest and keep me out of basketball. So I'm jumping in to all of the NBA action. And so with all of that dedicated time I put into the NBA, I thought – Let's talk about basketball a little bit. Obviously, this is centered around the Timberwolves, but this is just a quick segment to give you some things just I'm noticing around basketball. Three things I saw from last night of basketball. The first thing, The Pacers are looking like a very well-rounded team right away. They had a 111 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, 111-83 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. I like this win because they were really sloppy. Victor Oladipo only had 16 points. He wasn't super dominant. Shot really efficiently, but wasn't super dominant in this game. Didn't really control this game from front to end. But they still, with a deep roster, a lot of guys coming off the bench and playing big roles, they dominated this team. And so that if they can win a sloppy game where their star isn't totally imposing his will every single quarter, then this team is going to cruise through a lot of these games. And I know Memphis is a bad team. I know it's just one game, but they look good top to bottom in a game they were supposed to win, and they romp this team. And that's encouraging if you like the Pacers. And I've been on the Pacers bandwagon for a while now, and I have them as the third best team in the East. And so I'm gonna tout this one a little bit. Hopefully throughout the season they can prove me right. But this was a very good start for them. In a game where they had 20 turnovers, they were still able to get a 20-plus point victory. That was the first thing I saw. The second thing, the Pelicans are doing, I think, they looked like they're trying to do the positionless basketball, and it looks like they might be able to actually do it better than the Bucks, who have been trying to kind of get in that mode for a few years now. The Pelicans won 131-112 over the Rockets. A great way, on the road, a great way to start out their season. Anthony Davis, who is going to be just a massive presence every single game. He had 32 points and 16 rebounds. But if you look at this team, Moore, Mirzic, Davis, you've got Randall coming off the bench, even your guards, long dudes, Peyton, Holiday, but especially their front court with Randall coming off the bench. And they have Jahlil Okafor on this bench as well, although he didn't play a ton of minutes in this one. But you've got a ton of these forwards who are really long players, super athletic. They can kind of do that. We can play the four spot, but we can also jump out and play the two. There's plenty of times all over the place where Mirzic is kind of sliding out and playing a little bit like a two. He had eight threes in this game, shot 6 of 8 from three, 75%. Good for him. But it's really interesting to see this positionless basketball kind of just fly around Anthony Davis, who's going to put up crazy stats this year and probably be a front runner in the MVP conversation for most of the season. And so the thing I saw from the Pelicans is that it looks like they're probably going to be able to do the best version of positionless basketball, and that's going to be interesting. I think they're going to be a fun team, and I think they're going to run through the West and maybe be better than a lot of people anticipated. And so that's the second thing. Third thing, I really like the Jazz bench. I really do. They had a really rough game. They ended up pulling Mitchell and Rubio early in the game against the Kings. I know, against the Kings. Struggling against the Kings, they gave up a couple big leads to the Kings. Rubio ended with 1 point. He shot 0 for 4 from the field. Donovan Mitchell shot 8 of 21 from the field, even though he ended up with 24 points. Not super efficient for them. He and Donovan Mitchell, too, 3 of 10 from three-point range. But when they were struggling, they had guys like Jay Crowder, Dante Exum, guys like Alec Burks. All three of those guys had 13 points off the bench, and they shot super efficiently, too. You had Jay Crowder shoot 50%. Burks, 3 for 3, 100% shooting from three-point range. Crowder, 2 of 4 from three-point range. And Dante Exum, 33% from three-point range. So they're shooting efficiently, and all those guys shot over 40% from the field as well. They're shooting efficiently. They're coming off the bench, and whether you're playing 17 minutes like Burks, whether you're playing 33 like Crowder, you got guys on this bench that can have a real impact on these games and can fill in even when you have down nights from your starting point guard like Rubio, or you have a rough start like Mitchell did against the Kings. And they still have a guy in Grayson Allen that I think could be good down the line in this season in controlled minutes. You have Sevalosha, who is on suspension, but when he comes back, he's going to be a great bench piece. I know that there was some people kind of anticipating a regression from the Jazz, but I think this team is going to be as good, if not better, than last year because their bench is so deep and they have another year of kind of under the belts together. They've been through the playoff fire together. I think this team is going to be super good, and I think you got to look out for the Jazz if you're most teams in the West that aren't the Warriors or the Rockets. I think you got to have your head on a swivel for the Jazz because it's going to be a good team, another team that's really good top to bottom. So those are the three things I saw from last night of basketball, as well as the recap. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in to the show and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.